Blog Talk Radio.
You failed!
And it was awesome!
Exceptional!
Outstanding!
Oh, I did better!
From failing, you learn. From success, not so much.
If I gave up every time I failed, I never would have made the meatball cannon.
I never would have made my fireproof pants. Still working out the kinks.
Like my husband always says...
Good evening, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to the PRF table. This is Dr. Dunlap, and we are excited starting off a brand new year in 2016. We want to say Happy New Year to everybody that's out there listening. We just want to say welcome. We have a guest that's going to be coming on with us in a little bit, but I wanted to just turn everything over to Dia Sanders just to start tonight's show. She's also one of the gracious hosts of this PRF table. So, Dia, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How is everyone? I hope you're good. Happy New Year from me also.
Amen. Amen.
So, tonight we're going to be talking about healing. And this is a very important topic, especially coming out of the Christmas holiday, Thanksgiving, and all of the holidays in between. Starting a new year is so important. This is a time where people set resolutions, things that they want to get done. And we know, some of you may not know, but in my reading, have found out statistics show that by March, most of those resolutions that people said that they were going to do have already fallen by the wayside. Well, tonight we are here to talk to you about healing. Not healing in the, I guess, the normal sense that we're looking at healing, where, you know, people want to be healed of different ailments, whether it's I have a cold, or I you know, had surgery, or, you know, I have a headache, or I've been having chronic pain, wherever it may be. But we are talking about financial healing. And the importance of financial healing is because we know that people have spent money that maybe they did not have. And it's okay, no judging here whatsoever. But we want to be able to provide healing, because not only did people spend money on gifts that maybe they did not have, or like the saying says, you know, buying gifts for people that you really don't like with money that you really don't have, but people have also lost loved ones this year or last year around the holidays, where there's also statistics that show that around the winter months, the holiday times, that is when death rates increase due to various different things. We've seen on the news and heard about various different events that have taken place where lives were lost literally days before Christmas, or either on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. And so, yes, those families need healing in the area of grieving over their loved ones. But we also know that people have spent tons of money or run their credit cards up to the max, and so they need financial healing. And we are here to provide that to you, not just tonight, but probably for the rest of this month. Last January, Nate brought it to my attention that I had talked about a very popular song by a very popular artist, Marvin Gaye, in Sexual Healing. There are times, you know, where everybody has a need, whether it's sexual or not, but the intent of this song was him saying what it was that he needed. And what I like is that he was able to put it in words. And so we have people who need financial healing but may not know how to express it, may not know how to communicate it, may not know how to articulate the healing that they need in the area of their finances. There's also a gentleman, Richard Smallwood, who wrote a song, and the title of it is Healing. And he was talking about there being a balm in Gilead. What that balm does is just like when you put lip balm on your lips, that's at least how I think about it, is it brings protection. It is there to protect us. And so with financial healing, we want to make sure that all of our listeners know that we want you to include us also to have protection in the area of our finances so that we can get the healing that is needed. Just like our bodies have a need for certain things, the things oftentimes need that we're giving our bodies. Our bodies need vitamin C to help protect us, the cells, and to regenerate. We need vitamin D when it comes to healthy bones and our teeth and making sure that our skin is nice and supple and moist. We need protein to help repair and build our tissues and different things like that. We need to cleanse our bodies. And so just the way that Marvin Gaye talked about sexual healing, us having the things that we need sexually, just like Richard Smallwood talked about having healing for our sorrows, healing in the land, we also need healing when it comes to our finances, healing when it comes to what our bank accounts look like, healing when it comes to what our credit score and our credit report looks like. And so we want to be able to talk about those things and hit those areas that cause us to have pain, just like somebody can cause you to have a stomach ache. Well, nobody wants to stay in that pain. We want to be healed. Just mm-hmm. like when you, if you get into a car accident and you hurt your neck or your back, you don't want to have continuing chronic pain in that area. You want to be healed. You want your car to be healed by way of repairment. And so we're going to talk about some of those issues, just opening it up just a little bit on tonight. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm getting enough exercise. I'm making sure that I'm eating right. But then sometimes things just don't want to work out. And so how we can translate this, when we're talking about sexual healing, because studies show how it is good for our bodies. It is another form of exercise, how your heart rate beats fast, and all of those wonderful scientific and natural things that God created for us. What I'm saying is, do you have the financial healing that you need? Do you have the knowledge? Do you have the education? Do you have the understanding? Do you have what you need in order to make important decisions about your finances for 2016, also that will carry you over year after year after year, which is a return on your investment? And if I can go a little bit further, Nate, and you back me up, do you have compound interest on your investment? And so that's where we're going to open up tonight. We have some a wonderful guest speaker that is going to be with us. But we thank you so much just for joining us on tonight. I hope that something is said that will spark an interest and that a seed will be planted for you to get the financial healing that you need going into 2016 that will last you generations to come. I'm turning it back over to you.
Thanks, Adia. We appreciate that. Let me not even belabor the time. We have a brother who's agreed to be with us, who's partnered with us, that is going to be with us for this entire month for pretty much about half of each night's show that we have on every Thursday. And let me just tell you, we know that this connection that he and I have is definitely God-ordained and is really, really as said inside of the book of Esther, for such a time as this. And so I really want to just introduce Pastor Carmichael, Khalil Carmichael. Me and his brother, we've seen each other a couple of times. We met back in New York. Somebody said, hey, I need y'all two to meet. This was about almost a year ago. And we got an opportunity to meet back in May, had a couple of conversations, and then it was just God ordained when I was up in New York at NYTS doing a workshop. And he happened to be there, and that's how this thing really got started. And so what I wanted to do was really just open up the mic, bring Pastor Carmichael in, and just tell him welcome to the show. Pastor Carmichael, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm so glad to be here tonight. It is it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and the person that did the introduction just had me, like, I was drawn in. I was like, okay, I'm just here, so I know that something is going on. That is an anointed vessel, anointed woman of God who did that introduction. So I'm glad to be on the show. Thank you for having me. It is an honor. It is an honor to be with you all.
Amen. And that voice that you heard, that's Adia Sanders. She's one of the other co-hosts. You know, nobody's above anybody else here on the PRF table. So we all are as equals as co-hosts of the show. But for those of you who are tuning in to us, there's a couple of things that I just wanted to point out so you understood who we had with us. He is the pastor of It Is Well Living Church. He's also the CEO and founder of the Fitness Doc Incorporated. There's a couple of things, Pastor, that I when I looked at your website, and you and I have had conversations, a couple of things that really struck out to me. Just looking at the mission of your church, and one of the things that I saw was about how you envision a fellowship of disciples who have been transformed spiritually, physically, and mentally through the restorative power of God and redeemed to do the impossible. And when I saw that, I said, this is the type of God connections that this PRF teaching ministry has to have.
Right.
As ministers, as pastors, we know that there are a lot of us out here that focus on the spiritual. But when you incorporate the spiritual with the physical, as such you do, when we incorporate the financial with the spiritual, such as what we do at the PRF table and at the PRF teaching ministry, then that just puts things into a perspective that is unlike no other, because we realize that we have to deal with people where they are. And what I want to do was I want to suggest to us, especially as a body of believers, that we have to talk about these financially related matters. And we've got to also do so talking about our physical bodies. And that's why it was helpful really to engage this topic with you, my brother, because thing is serious. I'll throw something out. There's been so many deaths that have occurred this week alone. I'm talking about every day this week. Every day this week. And I'm not talking about that are not connected to me. I'm talking about that are connected to me in different areas. A fellow seminarian died 2 days ago. My former pastor's mother and his brother and his niece were murdered brutally on Monday. A double homicide in my area that affects another church close to me was done on Tuesday. So a lot of stuff is going on. And we know that people are in need of a healing, and we know the person who can do the healing. Yet at the same time, we also know and recognize that God has placed certain vessels on this earth to be able to help people with their healing. So tonight, one of the things I just want to do is just really open it up to you, let you give the audience whatever you want to give them, and we can just go ahead and get right into it, Pastor. So I'll give it to you if you want me to just release it for a minute.
Well, I appreciate that. Don't go too far. don't go too far. But, you know, I just wanted to say, man, you know, yeah, we, you know, in 1999, the Lord gave me a vision for the fitness doctor. And I have to admit that when I started the fitness doctor, I was totally trying to be a celebrity trainer and training the rich and the famous. And I did do that, but a few years before I started or began the fitness doctor, I rededicated my life to Christ at the Million Man March in Washington, D.C. And I gave my life to Christ, and I began to seek God in a powerful way, started the fitness doctor, thought I was going to do the celebrity training thing. I did that for a few years, and then I was able to quit a job that I was at for 15 years. I mean, it was one of those jobs where all you had to do was just show up for work, and you had a job for life. And I made very good money. I was able to buy a home and do those things. You know, I lived a pretty good life in my 20s. But when the Lord redirected and ordered my steps to take the fitness doctor and not just train the rich and famous, but to train the very elect of God, his people, you know, it was a shock. I went through a lot with that transformation, joined the church. My first experience with church was a mega church, and I was just thrown into the mix, and the bishop of the particular church sort of had a calling on me, and I went from not going to church to being in a mega church and serving in a mega church, and all that came with that, man. So God was really getting me up to speed quickly, and learned a lot. Had to leave that situation, and in the midst of all that, I met my beautiful wife, or was able to marry my beautiful wife, and we started a family, and it was just so much going on, man. But I hit a point where that depression of 2006, they call it a recession. It was a depression of 2006. And I had three or four studios open at that time, And I saw two of them close, and I was left with one, man. And we went through so much. And in the midst of all of that, it was really just God trying to get me to focus on the church. So within that, I started It As Well Living Church about 6 years ago, connected to a beautiful ministry in Brooklyn. It's actually my home church, Berean Baptist Church in Brooklyn. And from there, we launched the ministry in New Jersey. And my wife and I, man, it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ministry. And I have to say this, Doctor, that although I've incorporated the fitness into the ministry that the Lord has given me, it is actually my spiritual zeal and my love for God and Christ that has given me the passion to serve God's people. You know, it has been, Jesus said in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that gives life. So I believe that it is the Spirit of God that empowers us to live well. Thus, It Is Well Living Church. And God has given us the assignment, and specifically this year, God has given me the assignment, and He told me He wants me to bring reformation, reconciliation, and restoration. And so that is something that I take seriously, and I'm so thankful that I just believe that the same God that empowers us to finish school, to stay married, to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8 says, "It is the Lord who gives you the power to get wealth." Well, I believe it's that same God that empowers us to stay healthy and fit, and even empowers us to exercise as we're supposed to. And I'm just excited about what God is doing, man. There's so much going on with the ministry. I'm seeing people's lives transformed through fitness, and I'm seeing people's lives transformed through what I like to call a relationship with God through Christ, and God is bringing it all together. Through this ministry, through this It Is Well Living Church, I really get to minister to people. I really have a chance to minister to people the way that God has given it to me. I don't have to go check with a deacon board. Nothing wrong with a deacon board. I'm from a traditional church. Nothing wrong with that. You need a deacon board, but I don't have to do that. And I know when God gives us deacons and those who are servants, that they will share the vision with me, as opposed to being they will share the vision as opposed to being someone there to bring division. And and so I'm just excited about what God is doing, and I just believe God, and I give God all of the praise, and I give Him all of the glory. And by the grace of God, I'm just thankful. You know, I wanted to say this too, and you just stop me when you need to, Doctor. This is, you know, I thank you for, you know, I want to say something especially to the importance of, I want to back up a little bit about the business. It's so important that we, especially as African Americans, that we start our businesses and we maintain our businesses. It's so important. Not just because of the wealth that it will produce for our generations, And I have asked God to break the back of poverty off my life forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not ashamed to say that. I mean, forever, forever.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons, let me say this before anybody raises an eyebrow. One of the reasons why I believe God is going to give me wealth is so I can just focus on ministry. See, I don't want to be beholden to any man. You understand? I don't want to be beholden to into the government for grants. I don't want to be beholden to any pastoral organization that you gotta buy your spiritual father shoes and a coat and all of that. I'm not into all of that. I am, you know, and I have a spiritual father, and you know, we don't roll like that. My spiritual father, when he comes to my anniversary, he brings a check. Amen.
Amen.
You know, he brings a check. Amen. But that's a whole nother story. But we must start our own businesses, and not only start them, but we must support them. We must support our businesses. And I've been fortunate enough to have some great clients throughout the years, black and white and red and yellow and green, who support the Fitness Doctor and It Is Well Living Ministry. And I stepped out on faith, and I'm just trying to do what God is telling me. There has been some bumps, you know, that recession almost took me out. We had debt, we almost lost our home. I'm just being transparent, but by the grace of God, and that's why I wanted to do this series with you, because I think you and I we can talk about the process of building your body physically and the process of building wealth, restoring your finances, rebuilding your credit. It's a process. It's a process that my wife and I, that we're still in, as we're building what God has given us. It's not easy. You know, I don't, this is what I do. My son said, Daddy, I'm finishing up my second master's at New York Theological. My oldest son, he's 11. He said, Daddy, he said, when you get out of school, what job are you going to get? And I said, son, I have a job. I'm a pastor and I own a business. And he's like, oh, okay, yeah, okay. And so it's just so out the box what God has us doing is that, you know, my son and I have so much fun and joy doing what I do, my son doesn't realize that I'm working.
That's right.
He doesn't realize that I'm actually working, and it's just a blessing, and I'm just thankful for what God is doing, and it's so important, you know, that we focus on this mission of getting folks healthy. I have a statistic for you. I heard, what is the co-host's name again? What is her name? She's a wonderful person.
Adia,
I'm so sorry, Adia. Adia said that she gave some statistics, wonderful statistics. Well, I have a statistic as well. Do you know that 80% of African-American women are obese? 80%. When I give that statistic at seminars, I have to make sure that the car is running and I'm ready to go, because people are startled by that statistic of the obesity epidemic that is not only in the African-American community, but in our nation as well. And people just simply they just don't know how to get fit. It is akin or analogous to many of us who are ignorant of how to build wealth, how to restore our credit, how to what's the difference between assets and liabilities, knowing how to navigate through all of the economic jargon and things. We're just ignorant to that. Well, people are the same when it comes to fitness. Let me give you another statistic. Men are are more likely to die earlier than women because of obesity-related illnesses. Men are some of the toughest individuals to help transform through fitness. You know, when I get men to come in and really adhere to an exercise program, what age? When they are over, I would say over 60, 58 to 60. You know, you may get 1 or 2% of men who will adhere to a regimen, a trained professional regimen with a trained professional individual over 45, but that's rare. Generally, the men are over 58, they're about to retire, they have some kind of health issue, and they want to improve their quality of life. Men are living off of old glory. I'm going to say it again. Men will not exercise or exercise the right way because they're living off of old glory. Now, you know, yes, you did play for the Knicks, but that was 25 years ago. Yes, you were in the military. You were in the Army. Not you, Dr. Dunlap. But yes, you were in the Navy. You were in the Air Force. That was 35 years ago, and the last time you did a push-up was in basic training. Oh, my God. Men are living off old glory. Yes, you were a running back, but that was in high school, and you were 17 years old. Now you are 60. Let it go. You have to start exercising. And because of that, men are dying disproportionately. And it is just something that I have to tell you the story. A pastor friend of mine invited me to a dinner a few years ago, and I went to the dinner, my wife and I, and there were other pastors at the table, and we sat down, and he had been trying to connect me with a particular pastor who was very obese and trying to get him to start exercising with me. Well, he didn't say anything to me, and I didn't want to impose on him my thoughts to him and try to get him to start exercising. I just was kind of at that point where I just was, I didn't want to bother anybody. I was like, I'm having a nice night out with my wife, and I'm not going to talk about fitness. Well, to make a long story short, this beloved pastor, he died at he was only 40 years old. He had a heart attack. And I promise that now, I picked up the clarion call, and answered the clarion call, and I will not hold back from speaking into the lives of people and tell them the importance of exercising and not just this faddish stuff that we see on television and these infomercials and halfway working out and only working out at 60% of our maximum. No, I tell people you must learn how to exercise for the specificity of your life so that you can experience transformation. And if you do it at the fitness doctor and it is well, it will not just be physical transformation, but it will be spiritual transformation, mental transformation, emotional transformation, and now that you're in the mix, financial transformation. I just know that, God is doing something great in our lives. So I'm just thankful, and I just want to dialogue and just see where we just go tonight, because I know people are stirred up, and I know people are thinking of, and God is doing something in this moment. I know God is doing something. So let's, you lead us on, Dr. Dunlap. Where would you like us to go next?
Well, let me tell you, this whole subject area, we talked about financial healing last year, and every single time that we talk about a topic, we're intentional about, you just can't say it one time. We as pastors and ministers, right, we and educators, right, we can't just say it one time and just expect people to get it. Mm-hmm. There's a word that you used very frequently, and this is your first time being on with us. We know it's not going to be the last, but the word that you used was, out of all the words that I heard over and over and over again, was transform, transform,
right.
Transform.
Right.
And Adia can tell you, one of the scriptures that we are constantly lifting up is Romans 12:1-2.
Oh, yeah.
We have to go into a place of transformation. And for those who know me, you know, being a student at New York Theological Seminary, my doctorate degree is theories and practices of conflict transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a brand new track. And I knew, because so many people needed to be transformed, because I needed to be transformed, and I was able to see it. So it wasn't like looking at the speck in somebody else's eye and not recognizing the plank in mine. I needed transformation. I needed transformation dealing with church. I needed transformation dealing with things that was going on the job. I needed transformation dealing with things in my marriage. I needed transformation dealing with things in my finances. Even though we were good, it wasn't like we were great. We could have been better. And so if right. I recognize that, all that with me, then when I look at other folks and they're bringing their problems, their concerns, their issues, and they're bringing it to me, then I can easily say, yeah, transformation, that's something that we need to get on. And one of the things that I learned that we have to deal with things by having conversations. And I remember so many times talking about everything begins, Adia can tell you, everything begins with a conversation. That was something that I said over and over and over again. And one of the things that hit me this week was, it is more than the conversation. We have to have these conversations and being real with people. I'm glad that you said that you're answering that clarion call. You're not going to hold back. That's what God needs in this season. Right. It's not that God didn't need it 15 years ago. It's not that God didn't need it in the 70s. It's not that God didn't need it in the 80s. It's not that God didn't need it back in the 60s or the 1800s, but I wasn't there. But I'm here now. So now we know what needs to be done right now, and we have to go forward. And going back to what God showed me this week was, although it starts with a conversation, there was something else that came upon my eyesight, and it was about the word language.
Mm-hmm.
And how we define language really, really, really matters. And when I looked up what language is the ability to acquire and use complex systems of communication, particularly the human ability to do so. Now, when we talk about language, a lot of times the first thing that somebody's going to be thinking about is verbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
But there's more than verbal communication out there.
Right.
There's nonverbal communication, right?
Right.
So when people are working out at your gym, there's nonverbal communication. You may be telling them you got 5 more reps to go, but there's some nonverbal communication that has to go on. Their bodies are moving. And at the same time, something is stirring up that we can't even see, and that's what the Spirit is doing.
Right.
And so I'm glad that you brought up some more statistics. When you talked about the obesity problem, or let me say the obesity challenge, that lets us know that we're in the right space, because one thing that I know from my profession outside of ministry is that so many people have issues with finances because of their health conditions.
Right.
And inside of the church, inside of many churches, Sunday
right.
after Sunday, what continues to happen is people are speaking about things that they need to be healed from. Somebody
right.
gets a diagnosis, they want God to heal them.
Right.
Somebody living with a diagnosis, they're tired of it, they're fed up with it, they want God to heal them.
Mm-hmm.
Some folks don't have money. A lady that I know of doesn't have enough money really for her insulin that she has to take 4 times a day because of her finances. So we
right.
can't ignore the fact that finances and health are interrelated, that finances and health are interconnected. and the need of healing in both of those areas, oh, it's right up there. It's right up
there.
Yeah,
you
talk
Doug, I was looking at Romans 12, and one of the things that I noticed, I want to say two things about that. One of the things that I noticed is the enemy or the adversary to transformation or antagonist for transformation is conformity. And I think what we're trying to do is bring transformation, but before that happens physically and financially, we're going to have to allow the Spirit to transform people's mind, to renew their mind, so they move away from the norms or I like what the word says. It says the basic patterns of life, that conformity. You know, people conform to the norms of society and their world, and they never experience transformation. What is everybody going to do now? Everybody's running to the gym, especially these $2 a month gyms. You know, they're running to these gyms, they're getting these memberships, and they're not going to use them. The only reason they're doing that is because everyone says it's a new year, you have to make a resolution, and they conform to the basic patterns of this world. But if transformation is going to occur, what people are experiencing at It As Well and the Fitness Doctor now in January, they're experiencing transformation because they have made a decision to have their mind renewed by the Spirit to do something different. Imagine if we allowed someone like yourself to come into the different our different houses of worship throughout the country, and teach us how to manage our money. Of course, the traditional church will say, no, you can't do that, or people are funny about their money, or they will say things like, you know, there will be a fear that it will somehow interrupt or intercept the people giving to the church. But when we move beyond the norm and conform to a different way, and we can experience transformation. Conformity is the enemy of transformation. And secondly, I wanted to say today, you know this, but most people don't. I serve as a chaplain in a hospital in New Jersey. And so I see sick people all the time, you know. That's part of my call. And people say, why do you do the chaplain thing? It's a calling. It's something God chose me to do, and I need it too. You know, I was telling my wife the other day that, we all have callings. Some people are called, and then some people are chosen to do something. And I don't say that like one is better than the other. The only difference between the two is that when you're chosen, you don't have a choice. But when you're called to something, you have a choice. Jonah was chosen to go to Nineveh, but he chose not to, and he had to suffer the consequences. And he could not; he had to go because he was chosen. But the rich ruler, he was called by Christ to come into the kingdom, and he said no; he did not want to give up his money. When you're called, you have a choice. When you're chosen, you don't have a choice. And so I was chosen to do chaplaincy, and I've been seeing so many people who are sick, who are ill. I met a young man today who had two strokes. Mm-hmm.
He lost his job at the hospital. They called him back as a temp. And because he was only a temp now, he lost his job because he had the strokes, he was sick. He came back as a temp. And now being a temp or a part-time employee, he does not have benefits. The medicine that he needs for his illness is $600 per month. He has a part-time job. He does not have benefits, and he is only
in his late 40s.
Oh, man.
This is what I'm saying about taking care of yourself, of exercising, eating healthier, and then learning how to manage and save and invest and live within your means. We need healing and transformation, and the only way that it is going to occur is if we move from beyond the norms and get away from the enemy of transformation, which is conformity.
Let me shift for a quick second. Let me shift while we still have you, and let's shift into John chapter 5.
Yeah. You know, I'm with you. I'm with you. You go for it. I'll be with you.
And let me tell you why we're going to make that shift, because you talked about doing things out of the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And the word that, if there was any word that people could just hold on to in addition to the word healing for this series that we're doing, which is probably mm-hmm. going to extend until next month, one word in addition to transformation, in addition to healing, is going to be position.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Positioning is so critically important to your healing, be it financial, mm-hmm. be it emotional, be it physical. The way we are positioned to receive things makes all the difference in the world. And so since you mentioned about we can't do things with the status quo.
Right.
We can't do things with the status quo. So sir, ma'am, if you know you need to lose weight because you don't like what you look like, forget what other folks
right.
are saying.
Right.
You don't like what you look like.
Right.
Then that's where you have a choice. That's where you have an opportunity, because
right.
you don't like it. It ain't got nothing to do with, you still made in the image of God and after their likeness, but there's something about you that you don't like.
Right.
So that means you have the ability, they have the ability, Pastor, to do something about it. Now, here's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always easy.
Mm-hmm.
I know from I can only imagine what you see from working in the hospital. I did Army chaplaincy. I didn't do hospital chaplaincy, but, of course, the hospital piece came with the territory.
Right.
From the people who, your clients, the ones who work out with you or who come to your gym, to your place of business to work out, it's a process. And
right.
and the thing that I just thought about was we got to be really, really careful, even as we're trying to help people in their transformation, by doing those quick fixes.
Oh, my God, yes.
But
well, that's the conformity to the world. The world says get it done quickly, lose weight in 30 days. Get your credit restored in 2 months. Don't build wealth incrementally or let compound interest do its thing. Just do this Ponzi scheme or play the lotto or get your Powerball ticket.
That's right. You know, one thing that I want people to take away from tonight's show, and I think it's just critically important, is that my healing process may not be your healing process.
Right.
See, when we go and do workshops, or even as we're ministering here on the PRF table, I could have a group full of people, but everybody has different concerns.
Right.
Everybody has different challenges. One person may file for bankruptcy, where another person just has a husband or a wife that likes to spend when they like to save. And so
right.
We can't minister to everybody the same way.
Oh, no.
And so if we can't minister to everybody the same way, everybody's not going to heal the same way.
Right.
We can give them basics. We can give them some foundations. But we have to always see where people are. Our physical
right.
bodies are made different. Some people have allowed their bodies to get into certain states of being before some of their life challenges approach them. That's happened. There's nothing you can do about that now. And the thing that I was thinking about, which you can speak to it better than I can, was about muscle memory.
Right.
Now, I bring this up because for me, person like me, I know I have good muscle memory. You know, my
right.
arms is not as smooth as yours, Pastor, but, you know, I'm working on it. Well, that's not a lie. Let me say, I want to work on it. but I'm not a little dude. I ain't a scrawny dude I used to be like in high school. But when I feel myself slipping, when I feel myself starting to look what I call puny, right, then I know that if I just get to those perfect push-ups for about 2 or 3 days, this hulkish figure starts to come back. This pro NBA basketball player figure starts to come back. And then when I go out in public, somebody's like, man, you've been working out? You know, I get that little grin on my face. Yeah, I've been working out. But I got good muscle memory. And so maybe you can bring a comment or two about how important incorporating muscle memory is into the healing process. Because some folk just really believe that, or maybe it's just my understanding, that they want to do better in their health. They want to bulk up. They want that lean muscle, but it's not going to come overnight for most of us. And so I think sometimes you just, you know, maybe you can encourage folk, because you probably I'm sure you understand muscle memory better than I do, because when people start down this path, whether it's financial or whether it's working out, when they don't see the results that they think they should see, and the world is saying, all you got to do is take a pill. All you got to do is take this weight gain powder. You can take this weight gain powder and mess your insides up, trust me. So maybe you can speak on something about how important muscle memory is and understanding that it's a process for what you do every day.
Right. You know, it is a process. You know, there are three, and I'm going to get this in, there are three components of fitness that we must adhere to. There's the cardio, the strength, and the flexibility. The cardio is running, marathon running, walking, bicycling, things like that. The definition of cardiovascular movement or cardiovascular training is sustained movement of the larger muscle groups, i.e. the legs, the quadriceps, the hamstrings, for a sustained period of time, that period being 20 to 30 minutes. We know that. Strength training is just resistance training using something called the overload principle, that is overloading the muscle to cause it to grow, to strip and break down. And I'm just using very basic terms, strip and break down so it can be built up again. And then we have flexibility training, which is things like Pilates and stretching and yoga. The thing with a fitness program that's going to bring transformation physically is the program has to have all three components. You just can't be a runner, you just can't be a gym rat and bulk up, and you definitely just can't be a Pilates instructor or a yoga instructor. You have to utilize all three components of fitness for it to be effective. If you're going to build muscle, there's a few principles within training that that every fitness professional knows when designing an exercise program. One of those principles, besides the overload principle, is the principle of specificity. That is just simply that every person has a specific way of getting fit based upon their lifestyle, their contraindications, their injuries, their health, their lifestyle. All of these things are factors in determining muscle growth and optimal fitness level. You also have to consider something that is very important, slow twitch muscle fibers or fast twitch muscle fibers, and that will also determine how much muscle you can build, because there is another principle. There's a principle of genetics. Some people, they want to look like their favorite celebrity or their favorite fitness person that they see on television, or as everybody loves to say, and I love joking with this as well, helping women build Michelle Obama arms. That seems to be the great thing. Every woman wants to build Michelle Obama arms, and I don't blame them. I don't blame them. But some women are just not going to be able to build Michelle Obama arms because of their genetics and the principle of specificity. That does not mean that you can't have the best body or the perfect body for you based upon you. I love what you said earlier. You said we don't lose weight for anybody else. I was looking at my abs and, you know, as I'm getting over 40, mid 40, I'm looking at my abs and I'm like, wow, that I had an 8-pack. That's a 6-pack now. And my wife is okay with that. She's okay with that. But for me, I want my 8-pack back. You understand? I want my 8-pack back. Not for vanity purposes, because I just want that back for me. And so, you know, I'm going to do the best I can for me. I'm going to have the perfect body for me. And I think that is a big process of the renewed mind, the transformative mind, the transformative way of thinking, not conforming to the social norms of how we should look, but being able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and have the best body, the best health, the best wealth, the best finances, the best home, the best car, the best life for us. You know, I have to say this, Doug. I have a client, and I call her the richest woman in America. She's not wealthy by the normal standards, but she does whatever she wants. She drives a very humble car. She lives in a humble home. She's one of my clients. She trains, but she does whatever she wants to do. She eats where she wants to eat. She goes on vacation. She lives, and she does not make a lot of money. She's just having the best life for her. You understand? She's just having the best life for her. And so if we're going to build up the muscle, we have to have the overload principle. One of the best ways of building muscle beyond just the muscle memory. That's a great thing, muscle memory. And also beyond what's called muscle confusion. But one of the best ways of building muscle is working the overload principle and working what I created. I call these things sequences of exercises. In other words, the certain body parts have to work together to make the exercise or the workout or the weightlifting regimen intense for the individual, because exercise is about consistency and intensity. So one of the ways that we build muscle at the fitness doctor is to do something called more eccentric movements than concentric movements. In other words, more so-called negative movements than just basic normal concentric movements. And that is a great way of building muscle. And, you know, I really want to tell the audience that even if you're not able to get to the fitness doctor or you're not in the New Jersey, New York area, you know, you must get to a fitness professional who can help you reach your goals. You must do that. I am an advocate for personal training. I'm an advocate for having teachers. You know, the Bible says you'll have many teachers, but you only have one father. And some of the teachers that we can have a financial teacher, we can have a fitness teacher, we have a pastoral teacher, we can have a marriage teacher, somebody that teaches us how to be married. People don't know how to be married. we need teachers. And so I encourage the listeners, if they're not able to get to the fitness doctor, if they're not able to get to it as well, to find them a trained, certified, or degreed, but more importantly than that, experienced, compassionate, loving, kind, engaged fitness trainer who wants to help them achieve transformation. That's one of the things I love about you. That's why I want you to come to New Jersey, to the church, and help us with our budget. I don't mean the church budget. I mean the people who are part of the church. you know, help us, you know, get our budgets right, you know, help us tell us the truth about credit, you know, tell us the process of building wealth, the process of credit repair, the process of saving over time, the process of denying yourself and living within your means, the process of giving tithes and offering, and what that's all about, or as I like to say, grace giving. You know, teach us about that. Teach us. Amen.
Amen. Man, this is how time flies. This has been an awesome show, and brother, let me just tell you, we thank you so much for just sharing with us and willingness to be with us for these next 3 weeks after tonight's show. Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard from the fitness doctor tonight. You have heard from me. We've given you all that we are going to give you tonight. Let me encourage you. Go and read John chapter 5, verses 1 to 15. You know, this is how we do it on the PRF table, Doc. Sometimes we get to it and sometimes we don't. We just pray that we have another opportunity, such as the next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, to continue on with the conversation and also for the dialogue. A couple of the other co-hosts will be back next week. Adia will be chiming in. She's just been sitting on pins and needles, so I know she's busting open at the seams. But we do have a Facebook page, facebook.com. PRF is how you can reach us. You can also go to our website, prfministry.org. But what I wanted to do before we head out for tonight, Pastor, I do want to make sure that give you an opportunity. We have about 3 minutes left in the show. Please tell people, for those listeners who are up north, we know we have some people that's listening from up north, how they can get in contact with you, your website, and any telephone numbers. And we'll make sure we also get it put on our Facebook page, but we want to give you the opportunity to get that before we shut down for tonight.
Okay, good. You can contact me via Facebook. Connect with Khalil Carmichael, or go to the Fitness Doctor Khalil Carmichael page. You can go to itiswellchurch.com or go to thefitnessdoctor.org and leave your information. Reach out to me. Send me a note with some questions. I'll be glad to respond and just, you know, share the love. And I'm looking forward to next week also getting with you all again and talking about John chapter 5. I had some things, but I guess the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And I can just feel something going on, and I'm just thankful. I am so thankful for the opportunity. I hope I didn't talk too much, but I'm just thankful. I'm so thankful and so grateful to you, Dr. Dunlap, and I just wish blessings and upon you and your ministry, your family, your wife, Adia. God bless you, and I just thank God for the opportunity. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Bless you, Adia. Go ahead. I think you wanted to chime in real quick.
So yes, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much, sir. You were phenomenal. I love working out, so you were like talking to me. But only thing that I just wanted to add this, just to sum up some of the words that we said, which were transformation. You got to be, the word that I heard was positioning, being conditioned, consistency, and the last one that I want to add is intentional.
Right.
So great show tonight. Thank you so much, and I hope that everybody got something out of it. Thanks, Nate.
Amen, amen. And let me just drop a couple of nuggets. I wasn't going to do it, but I think I'm going to go ahead and do it. When we talk about what we're talking about, we're talking about doing the things that we're talking about, the pastor and I and Adia, pastor gave you so many different things that you can pull from, you know. And I thought about this when you talked about the three methods of fitness: cardio, strength, and flexibility. I want people to look, when you look in John chapter 5, look for those things that Pastor Carmichael mentioned of cardio, strength, and flexibility in those scriptures. I didn't have that in any of my notes, but I guarantee you that you'll see it. And I want to just – I'll post these on our website as well, on our Facebook page, but there's a couple of things that when we're dealing with finances in order to help you with your financial healing, there's a couple of things that have to happen, and it's going to be fluid throughout the rest of the show. One is we have to start the conversation. Thing is, we have to respectfully engage the conversation. The third thing is we have to translate the conversations that we're having into dialogue. If we're not hearing each other, if the only thing we're doing is I'm getting my point out, you're getting your point out, whether you're saying it to me or whether you're saying it to God, we're not having a dialogue. And then when we move to that dialogue, we take that dialogue and then we put it into action. I'm going to go to the gym today. You talked about it. You said that to yourself, conversing with yourself. Now you got to take it and say, you know what? It's the best thing for me. I'm going to go to the gym today. Or I'm going to go into the basement and blow off dust off the treadmill.
Right.
And that fifth thing is you have to celebrate the progress along the way, even if it's small progress. That's one of the most critical things. If I had to highlight anything, that's most critical. You have to highlight, I mean, you have to celebrate the progress along the way. So I'm excited. I hate to drop the mic because y'all know, but this is one of the things that we were being, as Adia said, intentional. We wanted to make sure that we talked about what we need to talk about. We don't belabor the time in 2016, and we give you an opportunity to look forward to next week's show by doing a couple things on your own. So put some things into action. So with that, we just want to say God bless you. We love you. Thank you for being with us here on the PRF table, and we will see you next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the PRF table. God bless.
God bless.